And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Summer's coming, and to get you started on your way to a great summer in the outdoors, we bring you our second annual National Trails Day show. Across the nation, this Saturday, hundreds of thousands of people will be heading to their favorite trail. And you will not believe where this is all heading. You'll find out the amazing answer when your Voice of the Earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
I don't know about you. I'm not one to hold to formalities all that much, so when I start talking about summer and then I'm reminded that it does not officially begin for another 20 days, I say, oh, come on. Let the summer fun begin. And to help kick off this summer's adventures, the Wild Side News is happy to bring you our second annual National Trails Day show. This year's celebration is changing the way people think about hiking. Trust me, you'll have a whole new perspective on what trail adventures can mean by the time this show is over. Trails began with the first walk by an animal on land, and they've been happening ever since. Trails are universal. One of my favorite activities when I'm on a trail is to pay close attention to the other trails, the runways through the grasses that small mammals use, the game trails that lead into the high country, and our legacy of trails is rich, with legendary trails that ran from the Anasazi down into Mexico and the Aztec and Inca. Next time you're in your car, you'll probably be driving along a route that has been used for eons of time. And when you get off the roadways and find a trailhead and then take that first step onto your own private adventure, you enter a sacred place that binds human and the earth. So listen carefully as we head around the country from Seattle to the Big Apple and everywhere in between. This is your invitation to take a path to a healthier you. So following the news, we visit with the president of the American Hiking Society, Dr. Greg Miller, and then get ready for some real surprises. But first, the news. More stories of the grand earth and its amazing habits. One of Mexico's largest volcanoes reactivated with the largest blast in over 15 years, while in Laguna Beach, California, the spring rains led to the sudden collapse of a hillside festooned with million-dollar homes. Talk is that this year's hurricane season promises to be another big storm year, with 15 major hurricanes predicted, of which 8 are likely to hit the badly damaged East Coast that is still trying to find its way back into existence from last year's hammering winds, rain, and sea swells. Meanwhile, GE is announcing a slick campaign to go eco-friendly with large investments into oil alternatives including solar and clean coal, with some risky, risque ads featuring scantily clad coal minarets to make it all much more enticing. Eco-friendly is getting sexier and hotter each day. Aren't you glad you're one of us? And yet the real nature of nature continues. BirdLife, a global alliance of conservation groups, said that 1,212 of the planet's 9,775 species were in imminent danger of disappearing, while a further 788 were considered near threatened. Among the species currently at risk, 179 were categorized as critically endangered, the highest level of threat. And Exxon, the world's largest publicly traded energy company, stands its ground against moving into energy sources other than oil because, well, it's really quite basic. They are poised to make a terrific amount of money in good old oil as the world's supplies begin shrinking because they own the pumps. Case closed. No need to think ahead right now. And that's the news. And on a lighter, more colorful note, This week marked the 186th birthday of that grand American iconoclast and lover of nature and freedom, Walt Whitman. It was 150 years ago this year that his legendary Leaves of Grass put to pen the spirit of America and the spirit of life itself that freedom inspires. Here, in a rare clip, is the actual voice of Walt Whitman, recorded on a wax cylinder near the turn of the century.
America, center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and good, grow ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
It was Walt Whitman who said, "A morning glory at my window satisfies me more than the metaphysics of books." And to you, my loyal listeners, he said this, "To have great poets, there must be great audiences." Happy birthday, Walt. Well, speaking of birthdays, this is a birthday of sorts, or perhaps an anniversary. This is our second annual National Trails Day show. Each year since 1993, the American Hiking Society holds its National Trails Day. This Saturday, June 4th, over 1,000 events are scheduled to celebrate the wonders and virtues of our hundreds of thousands of miles of trails. We've all enjoyed one, on a simple walk through the woods, or a climb to a vista, or for some, the adventures of a long-distance hiker. But here's an exciting new twist in the trail. They are being rediscovered in America's greatest grand cities, and it's opening up a whole new way of life for the urban dwelling hordes. They are going wild in the cities. To welcome you to this year's celebration, we now turn our attention to the new president of the American Hiking Society, Dr. Greg Miller, who gets this year's festivities underway. Well, there are events happening all over the country. National Trails Day, June 4th, and we're talking with lots of different people who are involved with literally at least 1,000 different events. The main sponsor of National Trails Day is, of course, the American Hiking Society, and joining us now from Silver Springs, Maryland, is Dr. Greg Miller. Well, Greg, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, this is an extraordinary event. The American Hiking Society really founded this event. Let's talk a little bit about the history of National Trails Day.
Well, as you know, National Trails Day was first created by the American Hiking Society in 1993, and this has become our signature trail awareness program. And today it's really grown from more of a grassroots approach from trail clubs to more of a national awareness program about trails, health, and the outdoors, where today, and I believe you just mentioned that we have, in fact, well over 1,000 events across the United States that will be run not only around June 4th, which is the official day of National Trails Day, but really surrounding this whole time period. And National Trails Day is really becoming more of a state of mind or an awareness as opposed to a single event. This year, our theme is Take the Path to a Healthier You. And what we have really found is that the trail experience, hiking and the hiking experience, is really inextricably linked with our own personal health, both personal health from a physical perspective in terms of getting outdoors, exercising, the more exercise-specific aspects, but also the mental and even spiritual elements of our own health and well-being. And so at American Hiking, we have really with our partners, both corporate and public and private agency partners, we have really been a strong proponent of this health and trail connection.
There's many benefits to getting out. What would you say are some of the best benefits of really getting out and spending some time hiking?
Well, one of the things I think it's so crucial to think about is the following. One is our country is, the United States is tremendously blessed with natural resources, and we in fact have well over 200,000 miles of trail. In addition, the Outdoor Industry Association has determined that there are more than 72 million Americans who consider themselves hikers, and an additional 14 million Americans who consider themselves backpackers. You overlay that with the tremendous health issues that we see today, where over 50% of the population in the United States is considered to be overweight, both young and old. We see a tremendous connection here, or a possibility for greater health. And one of the things that we're seeing with hiking that we see is so crucial to us all is that it really is one of the most effective low-cost nature-based activities. And from my perspective and our perspective here at American Hiking, we really see it sort of along three big areas. One is hiking brings you closer to nature, to your family and friends, and frankly brings you closer even to yourself in terms of the time that you spend away from pavements and buildings onto trails of one kind or another. And we believe this really instills both a love of nature and a lifetime of fitness for all participants. And related to that, of course, is hiking improves not only our physical health, but it can also really make lasting contributions to our mental and spiritual well-being. And this is something that we find so crucial in today's harried and stressful environment that we all live in. And then third, hiking is really a tremendous family and community-oriented activity, and we see it as one of the best, most effective ways to really bring generations together and provide those important intergenerational benefits of bonding, communications, and what have you. So the fact is, hiking is a lifelong activity. We hope that it is something that all Americans take to develop both a love of nature as well as develop a lifetime of fitness.
You know, I just had this idea when I'm talking to you, because many of the people who listen to the Wild Side News, for example, are hikers and outdoors people. And you talk about the benefits of getting outside. You know, it just occurred to me that I think an interesting approach might be for people who are involved to identify certain friends or family members who for whatever reason it is, don't really get out that much and invite them along on a hike.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's one of the great opportunities that we all have. Those of us who enjoy the outdoors and are comfortable with the outdoors can really become the guides for people who may be either uncertain or perhaps even intimidated of getting into the outdoors, that you can become an effective guide for them to open up a whole new world. And that's something that's very exciting. We've seen this time and again, and what a wonderful way to share one's own passion and experience for the outdoors and for hiking to open that world up to others who perhaps would not be comfortable doing it on their own.
You know, it's funny. I've never in my life seen anybody who comes back from a good walk on a trail or a hike who is stressed out, unless something has gone terribly wrong. But assuming that doesn't happen, which rarely does happen, quite honestly, it's the best way to restore mental health and spiritual health and physical health.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, there have been some fascinating and somewhat controversial studies that have come out recently that are focusing specifically on children and their tremendous need to get not only outdoors, but to become better linked and have more contact with nature, that the natural forces and the rhythms of nature provide an important soothing effect, reducing stress, having a direct relationship with people's mental and physical health. And they're looking for the empirical or the clinical evidence to demonstrate this, which I think is tremendous.
People like you and I and most everybody listening right now understand clearly what that is. So tell me about some of the programs that the American Hiking Society is involved in that are really helping to get people out on the trails.
Well, our mission is to promote hiking and the hiking experience, really getting out to promoting the foot trails. We're actually going to celebrate our 30th anniversary next year. In 2006. And we have a nationwide reach. We have more than 190 trail clubs as members. And we serve more than 500,000 hikers currently registered and amongst those trail clubs. Our work is, we take a very strategic approach in what I'll describe as quickly as four major areas. One is trail advocacy, where we push very hard in a constructive way at the national level for funding, maintenance, and support of trails. Second area is awareness and education, where American Hiking, we are a very important information resource, and I encourage all listeners to go to www.americanhiking.org to get access to some tremendous trail training, education, and hiking outreach resources. So awareness and education to the broader cross-section of civil society is really quite crucial to us. Third area is conservation, which will include trail design and maintenance, and a myriad of important public-private partnerships that we've established to achieve both trail and hiking and outdoor or more recreational objectives, but also habitat conservation, watershed conservation objectives as well. Now, these three areas of trail advocacy, awareness and education, and conservation and trail maintenance are really all woven together and glued. The glue of, that keeps them all together is really a fourth major area, and that's we really promote volunteerism. All of our programs are built around volunteer activity, engagement of civil society, literally from all walks of life. So as a result, we've been able to develop some really quite strategic and important programs. One, of course, is that we're in our 13th year of National Trails Day, and we're going to have millions from all walks of life celebrating the outdoors over the coming week or so. But in addition, we have our very important volunteer vacations program, which this year will run perhaps more than 100 different volunteer vacations where people volunteer their time on their vacation to help primarily on public lands do trail maintenance, upkeep, and working closely with Park Service, BLM, other agencies. In addition, we have a very strong trail advocacy and policy approach on allocations of federal and state funds for land and water conservation, for trail maintenance, et cetera. And then finally, in addition to all the information and the support we provide to trail programs, one of the things I want to mention and emphasize is that American Hiking is undertaking a very comprehensive outreach. We've recognized that there are a number of underrepresented communities who aren't enjoying the same benefits of the outdoor experience in hiking. So American Hiking, we are really moving to increase the participation and enjoyment of hiking by women, youth, and people of color. Those are three key cross-sections of our society that we are going to dedicate ourselves as an organization, as a society, to really better engage and empower and enjoy the hiking and hiking experience.
One of the things that is happening that is so exciting this year is the fact that in New York City is sponsoring what I'm sure is going to be proved to be the most significant event during National Trails Day, and this is right in the middle of a city. This is a very exciting way of accomplishing that mission.
The Adventures New York City events that you're referring to, which are hosted by Backpacker and Eastern Mountain Sports, two strong supporters, by the way, of National Trails Day. American Hiking Society, we will have a very strong presence there. In fact, I'm dedicating my time and effort on National Trails Day to this event because it will reach out to literally hundreds of thousands of people in the greater New York City area, and it will reach all of those key underrepresented communities, at least in that particular geography. So, for example, we're having a press conference tomorrow, which I hope will include the mayor of New York City, to promote hiking, the outdoors, and outdoor experiences for all people in the greater New York area. But then there's going to be a series of National Trail Day events on June 4th, Saturday, June 4th, in all of the five boroughs of New York City. Most people would not probably associate New York City with hiking, outdoor experience, yet there are tens of thousands of acres of parks and a number of reasonably long and rich and important trails in New York City, and they are resources for an incredible diversity of society. So I've made the decision for myself as president of American Hiking to spend my time on National Trails Day in New York City. So I will be up there. I'll be in Harlem at the High Bridge Park and also out in Queens at Alley Pond, two key National Trails Day events. And then we're going to finish up, interestingly enough, in Central Park.
Talk to me a little bit about what types of activities you might be doing in an area like Harlem.
Well, what's interesting is High Bridge Park is an area that is along the Harlem River. It is historically one of the older parks and more wild areas, if you will, in Manhattan. It's very upper Manhattan. And the New York City Park and Recreation, in conjunction for their efforts in National Trails Day, they are bringing together a group of neighbors, community leaders, to come and do trail maintenance on the trails in High Bridge Park, and also to remove invasive or exotic species of plants, plants that do not belong there, that are choking out the native vegetation in that particular area. So it's a tremendous opportunity to provide children, adults, people young and old, opportunities to get out, work with their hands, feel, get close to the earth, get closer to nature, and provide a direct resource from themselves, meaning their time and effort, for a longer-term benefit, and that is better access to nature, to the outdoors, through trail maintenance and improvement.
Trail maintenance actually sounds like it could be a lot of hard work, and in some cases it may be somewhat difficult, but the truth is that once you get out there and you start getting involved and you start touching the plants and moving things around and getting your fingers in the dirt and getting down your hands and knees or whatever it is that you are doing, something happens. What do you think that experience is? How would you explain what begins to happen when people really start touching the earth?
Well, one of the things I think is so crucial is that people inherently slow down. They get with like-minded individuals, perhaps who have never even been out and about on trails or have done that kind of hard work. But what happens is you see a tangible result from your efforts, a result that is doing nothing but good. It's only good in the sense of it's providing a better, safer, clearer way for people to come out, to exercise, to experience nature, whether it's in Highbridge Park in Greater Manhattan or out in Yellowstone National Park out in the far west. Fact is, the volunteers who come in and do this have to devote themselves to this and derive a tremendous level of personal satisfaction and contribution. I have not seen anyone who doesn't come away just, I won't say necessarily transformed, but certainly transfixed to the connection. And you all feel better. Everyone feels better as a result because you've done something that's just so fundamental and clear to our own existence and connecting to the earth and to nature in such a fundamental but simple way.
Life does seem to slow down, and that's, I think, one of the most, you spend some time, the next thing you know, it seems like it's been 2 hours and it's been 28 minutes. it's a great experience. But then again, all across America, too, we don't want to overemphasize the urban experience because, quite honestly, even people in small towns may not be getting out as they should.
That's absolutely right. In fact, one of the things at American Hiking we're so mindful of is that we are looking to engage people at the urban, suburban, and rural settings. It's important. There are people that are equally inactive, not taking advantage of their trails, and they may live just literally a few miles from some of the most spectacular natural experiences in terms of trails and natural environments anywhere, literally in the planet. And so our outreach is a broad one across the country through our local trail clubs and at our national level to really make this a really substantial experience. And particularly what we want to do is use National Trails Day as a springboard to the future where we really raise awareness, bring people's attention, not just on one day, but to use it as an opportunity to change directions for oneself, for your community, and develop a better awareness of the environment, awareness of yourself, and to just put one foot in front of the other and get out and hike. It's a tremendous opportunity. In fact, I would ask any of the listeners, what better way would there be than through the experience of hiking than to, well, build the human spirit, improve our physical fitness, and really increase environmental awareness and public support for trails in the outdoors. It's just a tremendous connection that I think we all need to make, and we all can make, because hiking, frankly, is something that anyone can do. It's a lifelong activity. Hiking allows you to set your own pace and difficulty. You can enjoy other activities while you're hiking, such as bird watching, nature study, even studying culturally significant experiences along the way, and it's really both a means and an end to fitness and personal well-being.
And then just for fun, let's talk about the family values of hiking.
Well, one of the things that, and I certainly can speak, I have three kids, and one of the things that we're all so busy, we're all spread in so many different directions with our busy lives now, that one of the things that we have found is so important and powerful, really, about hiking is that when you go out with family or friends, significant others, whatever your nucleus of human experience is, it brings you closer together to those people. provided you turn off the cell phones, don't take out Walkman and music, and just go out and experience the environment, experience nature wherever you are, you tend to also communicate with each other. And if you're with children, children will explore. It allows the parents to explore with their children, with their friends, their loved ones, whether it's the grandparents, with neighbors, whatever. And it provides a very enriching, equalizing kind of environment. And everyone's focused around the same factors. It's a very natural experience, no pun intended. Well, I just want to encourage everyone to make every effort they can to slow down, shift gears, and put the strap on their hiking shoes and get out onto a trail near them with family and friends. Find opportunities to perhaps volunteer a bit of time and feel good about themselves and the environment in which they live. That's what National Trails Day is all about.
And if people want to find out more information about all the events that are happening, what's the best way to do so?
Well, the best way would be to go to our website, www.AmericanHiking.org, and then that will lead you to, wherever you live in the United States, to where local events are. We've registered well over 1,000 events all across the country. I can virtually guarantee we can put you in touch with an event that would be reasonably close to your to where you live, and or with a local club that would certainly have opportunities for you to participate as well. But we will want to encourage everyone to not only think about it as a one-day event, but make hiking a part of your lifestyle.
Whether you're an experienced hiker or if you're just thinking that it's time to get out, there's no better time than National Trails Day to make that commitment and go ahead and enjoy the day and continue the process of gaining health through hiking.
You're absolutely right, Sidney. I could not have put it better myself. Really appreciate the time.
Dr. Greg Miller, President of the American Hiking Society, thank you for adding your voice to the Wildside News.
Thank you very much, and good day to all.
So from Silver Springs, Maryland, we head on up to the Big Apple, where people are going wild in the city this weekend. So stick with us as we take a short breather. Then come along as we continue our second annual National Trails Day show on Your Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
So yes, summer is here, and you find yourself longing to pack it in and head out of the big city. But then something comes up and, well, you have to plan for that walk in the woods another time. Or do you? Life in the city, and when I say city, I mean city, big city, is suddenly realizing that a hike or bike or kayak adventure with nature is just part of urban life these days. It's a whole new way of living on the edge. One every turn here on the Wild Side News. This weekend, the city of New York is holding the largest single event for this National Trails Day. Now, we're not talking about a convention, no. We're talking about adventuring in the Big Apple. It's a great new way of life in the city. And to give us the big picture of this weekend's adventures in New York City is the Commissioner of New York City Parks, Adrian Benepe.
Well, now joining us, I'm really thrilled to have as a guest on the Wild Side News, the Parks Commissioner for the City of New York, Adrian Benepe. Welcome to the Wild Side News.
Great to be with you.
Well, I'd like to know what in the world is going on in New York City this weekend. It really sounds exciting.
Well, we've got what we call Adventures NYC, which is a series of activities to try to get people out into the parks of New York City, out into nature, and doing things related to camping and backpacking and mountaineering and bouldering and all the different kinds of things that people would not expect to find in a big city like New York.
Well, how is it that, New York has such a panoply of opportunities? As you say, people don't normally associate New York with the wild.
Well, of course, savvy New Yorkers have known for a long time that New York has great parks. We've got almost 30,000 acres of city parks, as well as another 15,000 acres of national parks here in New York City. So that's almost 45,000 acres of parks, covering about 20% of the surface of New York City. That's another thing most people from outside of the city would have no idea. They picture New York City as being Manhattan, which, of course, it's much bigger than that. And we've got a big harbor and tens of thousands of acres of water on which to do sports. So kayaking and boating of various kinds, sailing, of course, take place. But now, increasingly, people are doing the sports that they would normally do out in the country here in the city. We have indoor climbing walls and now outdoor climbing walls. And we also have some natural rocks that people climb on, not quite mountains. In fact, calling them hills would be glorifying them more than they should be. But, people in New York like to get out and exercise, too. And what Adventures NYC is doing is showing them they can do some of the things in New York City that normally would require a trip out to a state or a federal park to do.
Do you see this change in the nature of urban parks?
Oh, it absolutely is, and we have to respond to the changing ways that people recreate. For example, we've, in the last few years, built our first skate parks, places where people can go and do inline skating and BMX biking and skateboarding on big slopes and inclines and half pipes and things like that. And that was something that we were sort of hesitant to do for a year, primarily because of the worry that lawyers would get involved and sue us if somebody got hurt. We have to sort of change with the times, and one of the big things that's happened recently is that people have decided that the New York's waterways, and New York is really a city of islands and waterfronts, are great places to go out and get exercise. So, for example, kayaking has become huge in New York, and now in many parks we're starting to build boathouses where people can store their personal kayaks and come out and use them. And there are, we also have built our first floating boathouse in New York City for traditional rowing. But, we're looking for ways to do things like bouldering and rock climbing, and we hope to develop soon our first sort of off-road bicycling paths. And a lot of people take these for granted in some of the county and other countryside parks, but in a city like New York, it's right now it's against the rules to bicycle off-road. You have to stay on a path, but we're trying to create some off-road biking paths in what people know as garbage dumps, what we call landfills.
Are you finding this sort of a movement or a change?
Well, absolutely. People want to have the best of both worlds. They want to have to live in a city and have the advantages of living in a city with all of its cultural life and its business opportunities, but also be able to pursue their forms of exercise and recreation that normally would require a rural setting. So, yeah, so we're finding a lot more of that. Things like triathlons and other big events which didn't used to take place are very important. So that's why this Adventures NYC pulls together all these threads. That's why national publications like Backpacker Magazine are sponsoring these things with rock climbing and bouldering and backcountry culinary workshops, bicycle races and adventure races, and even camping out under the stars for teenagers.
How do you think this may actually affect the view of urban life?
Well, I think that people have a lot of misconceptions about city life. They sort of look at sitcoms or TV series, and they see big, tall buildings and concrete canyons, and they have no understanding that there's actually a lot of rural kind of property in New York. I think what it will do is it does two things. It will make people from outside of New York understand that there's a lot going for New York in terms of natural areas and recreational opportunities, but it will make New Yorkers themselves find that there are many opportunities beyond the traditional recreational forms. We as a society have to do a lot more about getting ourselves in shape and do a lot more for our kids. We have a crisis of obesity and obesity-related diseases, things like diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease and things that are afflicting people at much younger ages than they used to. And if we can, all right, say a kid doesn't want to do traditional team sports, well, they might like to do off-road bicycling or go to a skate park or do some bouldering or mountaineering or orienteering projects. So if we can attract people to do more exercise, either in a passive way like just going for a walk or in a very ambitious way like climbing a climbing wall, that's good for us as a society. We'll become healthier, we'll have fewer diseases and problems with obesity and asthma and other things.
Now, are you going to have an opportunity to join in on the activities this weekend?
Yeah, I think when we do our press conference this week, they're going to put me in some kind of a climbing wall. And I'm not much of a... let's put it this way. I have no climbing skills, but I'm game as long as they put me in a harness to try anything. I'm somewhat of an athlete myself. I like to run and bicycle, and I run on a regular basis. But I'm looking forward to trying out some new kinds of things I haven't done before.
Well, I hear you're a man with many passions for the arts and nature as well. So this is certainly a great addition to the parks. Why don't you go ahead and give an invitation to New Yorkers and beyond?
Well, I'd say to people from New York City and from all around the country, come to New York on the weekend of June 4th, and we're going to have a whole bunch of activities for you, a great way to discover all the sort of unique, wonderful country environments of New York City. We call it the country in the city. We've got freshwater wetlands and saltwater marshes. We've got deep woods with 120-foot tall trees. We've got meadows to explore and great waterways to canoe and kayak. And one of the greatest things people could do is canoe down the Bronx River, the city's own only freshwater river. But we will have all kinds of opportunities working on National Trails Day to help maintain our hundreds of miles of hiking trails and visit our nature centers. And it's going to be a great June 4th of activities for people of all ages to discover the city and its parks and its great nature and ways to get out and have fun.
Adrian Benepe, Parks Commissioner for New York City, thanks for being on the Wild Side News.
My pleasure. See you out in the parks.
Thanks a lot. Bye. You know, people don't usually think of New York City as a place to go to enjoy nature, but New York City is preparing to launch an outdoor extravaganza that proves to be the largest single event of this year's National Trails Day. So joining us to learn more about that is David Cavell, who is with the Parks Department in New York City. David, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you know, this is really quite interesting. Have you done this before? Have you had this type of an outdoor experience in the parks in New York City?
This is the first time that we've ever embarked on a program quite like this. Last year, we actually celebrated the first citywide National Trails Day event where we had activities in all five boroughs, but it was a much smaller program, very grassroots-oriented. And we started this partnership with Backpacker Magazine, and only through that partnership have we been able to create the program that's called Adventures NYC.
Well, this is quite an event indeed. Why don't you give us some of the highlights that people can experience this week in New York City?
We have activities taking place in all five boroughs, and we're very excited about that. In Manhattan, we have Central Park's East Meadow, full of a variety of different programs, anything from GPS clinics and backcountry cooking to fitness programs, to children's activities with arts and crafts and an obstacle course. And then finishing the day at the East Meadow, we have a professional rock climbing competition. Up in Highbridge Park in Manhattan, we have trail work projects that are organized by our Natural Resources Group, which is a division of parks that focuses on preserving our natural wilderness areas on urban parkland. And we're also going to have some bike tours at Highbridge, and those bike tours are going to be along the Greenway, which is a paved area along our waterfront that's open for walkers and bike riders.
Now, Dave, do people have to bring their own bikes, or will there be bikes available?
We're encouraging people to bring their own bikes. There will be a few bikes available for people to borrow for free, but those are very limited. So up in the Bronx, we have some exciting activities in Pelham Bay Park, the city's largest park, and we're going to have Eastern Mountain Sports leading some kayak clinics. We're also going to have the administrator's office of Pelham Bay Park organizing some trail maintenance projects along Hunter Island, which is in Pelham Bay Park.
Let's talk a little bit more because there's so much going on.
Yeah, there is really a lot going on. In Queens, we have activities in Forest Park. And in Queens Park, we're actually going to have a portable rock climbing wall in Alley Pond Park. I'm sorry, I think I said Queens Park. I meant Alley Pond Park. In Brooklyn, we're going to have activities in Marine Park. We're going to also have a portable rock climbing wall there. We're going to have canoeing and kayaking for free, organized by the American Canoe Association. And there's also going to be an orienteering treasure hunt there. And then going into Staten Island, we have one of the more exciting activities. We have the Greenbelt Adventure Challenge, which is an adventure run organized by NYRA, the New York Adventure Racing Association. And all these events are free and open to the public. So we're really excited to have New Yorkers come out and enjoy these outdoor adventure activities in our urban parks.
This is the first time that it's really reached this level, so I imagine it's a little difficult to know how many people might be expected to be out in the wild in New York City this weekend. But any estimates?
It's really hard to say. Last weekend, we had the first component of Adventures NYC, which was called the Backpackers Gear Expo, and we had thousands of people walk through that area. So I'm really looking forward to see thousands more attend these events citywide.
Now, if people want to participate, I mean, should they prepare? Should they kind of dress for the outdoors, put on some hiking boots or sneaks, or what's the best way to get ready to go to this thing?
Well, I always recommend dressing for the weather and wearing some layers, so that way if you're outside for a while, you can take off a layer if you're hot and put on a layer if you're cold. It's looking like it's going to be a really nice day out. You know, some good sturdy shoes are always a good idea. Some hiking boots would be great for those of you who will be doing volunteer projects like trail restoration and removal of invasive wildlife, things like that.
Now, one of the most unique experiences, unfortunately it's already closed to the public, but you're actually going to have an overnight in Central Park, and apparently people were able to kind of apply for the opportunity to camp in Central Park overnight, but they did the drawing last week, actually, so people can't, it's closed at this point, but tell us a little bit about that. That sounds kind of fun.
Sure. Well, Under the Stars is the name of that program. And Under the Stars is really just an extension of what our urban park rangers already do. It's actually taking place in each of the five boroughs simultaneously. So there's a Manhattan site, a Brooklyn site, a Bronx site, and so on. And each site is very limited, and as you mentioned, it's closed right now, but we had a registration form. It was free and open to the public. And the idea is to give New Yorkers an opportunity to experience camping in their backyard, and provide them with a safe environment and some educational programming.
That's very interesting. Now, are there places that people can normally camp in New York City?
Well, only with the urban park rangers. It's not something that is normally legal for a variety of reasons, but our rangers have special programs that are educational, and you can sign up with them. And to find out more, you can always visit our website at nyc.gov/parks. Or visit 311, or call 311.
Now, do you expect that you're going to continue this into the future?
Absolutely. We really are looking at this as the first of many years to come. This program is shaping up very nicely for us. It's a perfect example of an excellent public-private partnership where the city has aligned ourselves with private partners that help us promote our parkland and our programming, and it's all free and designed to get New Yorkers outside. So we're very excited to do this next year and for many years to come.
Why don't you go ahead and give us an idea of some of the partners that are participating, because these are leaders in outdoor recreation. It's so fun to think of them in the city.
Yeah, we have a lot of great partners for this program. Backpacker Magazine is our main partner. And collectively, Parks and Backpacker have put this whole program together, and we're really grateful for their support. They've helped us bring on additional sponsors like Subaru of America, who's our title sponsor, and Eastern Mountain Sports, who is one of our major supporting sponsors. But we're also really grateful to have a lot of partners that are helping us on the more local level, groups like Partnerships for Parks, the Greenbelt Conservancy, the Bronx River Alliance, American Hiking Society, and so on.
Now, David, you sound actually very enthusiastic about this. Is this part of your life as well?
It is. Yeah, you're right about that. You know, I've always loved the outdoors, and I've worked on activities like this in my private life as well as public life. I used to lead outdoor adventure trips for teenagers, and you know, I think it's just a great way for people to get outside and relax and do something different.
Well, Dave, since this is your background, what kind of changes do you notice when people, perhaps who have had no real experience or familiarity with the wild nature in New York City, what happens when they have this experience?
Well, what I think is great is that it gives people a whole new perspective. People aren't used to doing something in the wilderness, in the middle of our concrete jungle, and it allows people to take a step away from their hectic lifestyle and just sort of enjoy the activity. You know, one thing that we're doing on the Under the Stars program is encouraging people to put away their cell phones and pocket their watches and just enjoy the experience as if you're taking an escape from your normal city life.
You know, quite honestly, this seems to be a vision of a sort of a new option in American life where if people were to just embrace this as part of their experience, it could really enhance the quality of life in a big urban experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that these activities are great because not only are they fun and different, but they're healthy for both the mind and body. And that's, you know, really important for the Parks Department to promote in New York City.
Now, are these events essentially all free?
Yeah, everything is free. It's all open to the public. And there are only a couple activities where you need to register in advance, the Under the Stars program that we mentioned, and also the Greenbelt Adventure Challenge, which is the adventure run in Staten Island. All of those can be registered for on the Internet.
I suppose people could just literally show up.
That's absolutely right, and that's what we're expecting. We're looking for people to just show up when they want, and they can join right into volunteer projects or rock climbing or canoeing or kayaking. So anybody can just come right over to one of the parks and find out about all the different opportunities.
To get the full spectrum, where should they go?
Everybody should visit nyc.gov/parks. And there's a link for Adventures NYC right on the homepage. And you can also call 311 if you're in New York City, or 212-NEW-YORK if you're outside of New York City.
Well, David Covell, this is really exciting. I think you're setting a brand new trend in terms of urban existence, and I wish you great success this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Well, it may be the biggest, but it's not the only event by far. Actually, over 1,000 events are planned around the nation this National Trails Day. When we return, we find out just how easy it is for you to join in this national adventure. So sit for a moment while we retie our bootlaces, because when we come back, you'll be invited to come on along as our Trails Day celebration continues here on the Wild Side News, your ongoing voice of the earth.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
No matter where you are, you're invited to take part with hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of other Americans, as National Trails Day launches this Saturday, June 4th. There's something for everyone, and when we return, we turn our attention to one of National Trail Day's longest supporters, REI, whose commitment to cooperation and community will be demonstrated and experienced all across America. We just keep getting closer to National Trails Day with each segment of the Wild Side News. There are lots of things to do, and you are invited. It's really easy to participate. No simpler way exists than to contact your local REI and see what they are planning to give back to their local trails this weekend. So joining us now from Seattle is David Jao, who handles REI's corporate giving program, and who is inviting you to join in.
Well, now, of course, National Trails Day really relies on support from a number of corporations and supporters and sponsors, and there's a terrific alliance of particular gear manufacturers and others who are helping to support the massive events happening across the country. But one of the longest-standing supporters of National Trails Day is REI, a name that is synonymous with outdoor gear. And joining us from Seattle right now is David Jao, who is the program manager of their corporate giving program. David, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thanks for having me, Sydney.
Why don't you give us a little background on REI's historic support of the National Trails Day?
You know, REI began as one of the original sponsors of National Trails Day primarily because, you know, we have a very strong commitment to giving back and getting involved in local communities and caring for the environment. And really that is what the core of National Trails Day is all about, is taking care of the great places where we all like to kind of recreate, have fun, both with friends and family, and at the same time instill that kind of value of stewardship.
All across America in the REI stores, of which I believe there are 77 stores, is that right?
We now have 78.
Congratulations.
We're growing.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, actually, for people who want to find out how they might participate in a National Trails Day, they can literally go to their REI store and find out how to do so.
Exactly. We have 78 stores across the country, as well as REI.com, our website. On the site and in our stores, we have posted both local events that are happening in that community for people to get involved. And then if there isn't an actual event happening on Trails Day, we do have partnerships with conservation groups across the country so people can find out how they can get involved, if not particularly on that day, on another day or throughout the year on, you know, being a steward for the environment and caring for the outdoors.
David, why don't you talk about some of the interesting things that are happening across America in the REI stores?
Okay, let's start with San Diego. Our Encinitas store is working with the Los Pensaquitos Canyon Preserve Ranch House. And this is a great event because really it is just a celebration of trails in the outdoors. It's a family event happening, you know, all basically from 10 to 4. And it includes everything from nature walks, mountain biking, equestrian rides. REI has a program called PEAK, which stands for Promoting Environmental Awareness in Kids, teaching Leave No Trace principles to kids, and they'll be conducting those games and activities at this event. They're going to have music. So, I mean, this one really captures National Trails Day in its essence, in that it's an event that is both accessible for families and kids. It's a celebration for the outdoors, and it's really something that everyone can participate in.
And then it goes from there, and quite literally across the nation.
Yeah. On the other side, we'll go to Atlanta. In Atlanta, we're working with the Alache Nature Science Center and SORBA, which is the Southern Off-Road Bicycle Alliance, and they basically are going to be doing some trail building and trail maintenance work in the Chicopee Woods Area Park. And again, to find out how to get involved in that particular event, just go to your local REI. And there's a really cool event that we're doing actually in Boise, Idaho, with the Bogus Basin Foundation Nordic Group, which will be building solar lighting along the Nordic Trail system. So that what they will do is, at the end of this event, and probably a couple more afterwards, is they will have the Nordic trails all along Bogus Basin and Boise lit by solar lights. So, to, again, increasing accessibility to some of these trails.
Even at night.
Yeah.
That is a very cool idea. Well, now, REI is a unique company in the sense that it is actually a membership organization. Tell us briefly about what that means.
You know, REI is a cooperative. And basically what that means is, for, you know, a one-time, you get a one-time fee of $15 and you're a lifetime member. It allows us to do a lot of the work that we're doing in local communities around conservation, recreation, outreach, but it provides a member benefit in that members every year get a return on all the purchases that they make. You know, we provide newsletters, emails, just different ways for people to get involved both in the outdoors and in their communities.
REI is a membership organization. Part of that membership is involved in really encouraging people to give back, and that's what REI is doing in terms of their support of National Trails Day, and it's a wonderful thing.
It is really cool. I mean, just on National Trails Day alone, we'll be hosting 48 volunteer projects all the way, you know, from Anchorage to Atlanta. Last year, we actually deployed 122,000 volunteers who donated over 324,000 hours of labor just caring for trails, open spaces, waterways, and parks.
You know, it's amazing because this type of effort in one day accomplishes a tremendous amount of work, and it really speaks to what can happen when people kind of unite their efforts.
You're right. Yeah, National Trails Day, we'll have over 1,000 projects across the country on this single day.
That's extraordinary. You know, REI also has another program that I find very interesting. Again, a process of giving back, but also giving your members an opportunity to enjoy nature as they may not otherwise be able to do so. And that's your volunteer vacations program. Let's hear about that, because I think I'm going to sign up.
Yeah, volunteer vacations is actually a program of American Hiking Society, and they're also the hosts of National Trails Day, but REI is the national sponsor of it. And basically what Volunteer Vacations does is it offers week-long adventures across the United States where people are backpacking, camping, hiking, and at the same time giving back and building trails, caring for them, removing invasive species, and actually just meeting another great group of people.
So you actually work in with national park rangers and
exactly.
workers, and as well national forest people as well.
Exactly, national parks, the Bureau of Land Management, just a number of federal agencies that are really responsible for caring for public lands.
Well, now if people want to find out more about REI, what's the best way for them to do so?
Best way is to go to either your local store or to REI.com.
That's easy, isn't it?
Pretty easy, because, you know, what we really want to do is just make it easy and simple for people to get involved and get outdoors.
David Jao, Program Manager of Corporate Giving for REI. I want to thank, first of all, REI for the tremendous support that you've given historically for National Trails Day, and as well I want to thank you for joining us here on the Wild Side News.
Oh, well, no problem, Sydney, and it's really our commitment to communities and giving back. It really stems from our cooperative values and our membership, because we know it's important to them as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
And now, to send us off on a great adventure, we turn to a true trail advocate, actually one of American Hiking Society's ambassadors, Michael Garcia, whose dedication to nature and hiking, life and living, is evident in his passion for the hiking way of life.
We're talking with Michael Garcia, who is the ambassador with the American Hiking Society for Southern California. Michael, what is an ambassador for the American Hiking Society?
Well, basically, the ambassador program involves volunteers, such as me, who have done events for the National Trails Day. And if they see someone really enthused about American Hiking Society, who's a member and who has done events, they say, hey, Michael, would you like to come aboard and become one of the ambassadors? And what we do is we just preach the word of the American Hiking Society.
So, Michael, what is it about hiking that seems to inspire you to be so involved in getting out there amongst the public and giving them an idea of what the value is of hiking?
Yeah, well, I really feel that the value really comes from what you see in nature. We're so limited here in our society with asphalt and traffic and stress, and we don't get time to really slow down. And what nature provides is that time to slow down and think and contemplate about things that you may not think about when you're in the bustle of the city. So it really eases the mind and is also a great way to exercise both the mind and the body.
Now, Michael, did you actually grow up in a city or a more rural area? How is it that you you come to this urban experience so actively?
That's a great question. I think what I grew up in southeast Los Angeles, really in the urban side of the city, factories belching smog into the sky. And what I was fortunate enough to encounter somebody, a mentor, who took me up into the Angeles Mountains here in Southern California and introduced me to what it was to be out in the forest setting. And I was fortunate enough to really was able to tap into that. And also we had a program at school, which they took fifth grade students up into the mountains for 1 week. And I think these two things in my life really influenced why I like to go out there. And I just really feel it's important if I can expose people to just this little time that they can get hooked like I did. And it really is just a great experience.
I'd be curious about your personal experience about sort of life before the awareness of the value of nature, and then what changed? How did this change take place? What did you actually notice in terms of how your life changed about the world around you?
Prior to meeting the mentor, I looked at life as being a concrete type of setting, or a river. Here we have the Los Angeles River, which has been made a concrete bed. And I looked at this, and this is what we thought, how water flowed. But once I was introduced to the mountains, I saw how things naturally flowed. And it was a big change in that I thought the city was a structured environment. And actually, nature is what is structured. You see all the relationships with the trees and the birds, and everything goes together. It's all symbiotic type of relationships. And you just look at everything with a different light, totally different light. And it was that thing of nature, that also that mystery that you see, that you wanted to seek out and find out what was different. In the city, everything seemed to be so, had an answer. When out in nature, there was always that mystery. And that was the intrigue that led me into really changing my life experience as far as how I look at life and how things do change, but the real order of life is in nature itself.
Well, let's talk about what you're going to be doing this National Trails Day, which is Saturday, June 4th, and you're going to be in Berkeley. At the Stowe Canyon Nature Center?
Yes.
We'll talk about that, because you're trying to bring this message into the city.
What National Trails Day is, it's a celebration of our nation's trails, whether it be through hiking on our trails, giving some love back by doing some trail maintenance, or just enjoying the outdoors. What we try to do is get people to realize that the trails themselves are things that we have built to make it accessible to people who want to go out on the trails and not have to bushwhack through chaparral. And it just makes it a lot easier for them to experience the trails. And the National Trails Day definitely is a day where we say, hey, there's over 200,000 footpaths in our nation, and 2,000 other events are going on at the same time, and we all are doing something either through awareness or through actual experience of being on the actual trail, and taking the time to appreciate what we have in this country of ours, the opportunity to hike our nation's trails.
So, Michael, let's first of all start out with what's happening at the Stowe Canyon Nature Center this Saturday, June 4th.
Yes, the Stowe Canyon Nature Center, we're going to be doing some trail maintenance, which really isn't where we're actually taking a big crew, but what we do is we introduce through a workshop of how we maintain trails and how trails are maintained by people, and it's mostly volunteership. Also, we like to have clinics educating the people, the hikers, our future hikers, on how to go prepared into the wilderness. This is very important, in that we try to distill the fears of hiking. We always hear in the media how nature is so threatening sometimes, when in reality, if you are educated about your surroundings, you'd feel much more comfortable and have a much more comfortable hike. On the nationwide level, various events focus in more on the trails maintenance side of it. Other people focus more on the hiking side of it, and which we know both relate to each other. Without the trails, there's no hiking. Without the hikers, there's really no trails to maintain. So on the big push that the American Hiking Society would like the people to really focus on is our theme. Our theme is usually a health-based theme, and the health-based theme this year is Take a Path to a Healthier You. So this correlates with our health problems that we do have nationwide, where kids are a little are seeing more overweight actions, and the actual families as well in a whole are not getting out there to exercise. But this is a different type of exercise where you're not at a gym and you're out actually outside and really enjoying the outdoors. And as a family, it would be a great thing to get families together and go on hikes like this and to really combat what we are seeing as an epidemic nationwide on our health problems.
You're really an advocate of getting people from all cultures out into the wild. For kids, let's say, and families who aren't really comfortable with that, what would be your recommendation to encourage them to just go ahead and take that chance and step out and take that first walk and become comfortable with nature?
The first thing is getting associated with somebody who has been hiking and getting the family to rally around somebody who really, someone like me who's an advocate, and being able to teach them before you go out. And if there were more people that were preaching and teaching the hiking ethic to make people feel more secure, it would be great. I've done various talks at Warner Brothers, in front of Telemundo, engaging the Hispanic community. We do hikes after work. And pretty much, I think the people, if they want to know about hiking, to start looking around at groups that do hiking, like the Sierra Club and other other type of service-based community organizations. Churches always are looking for to go out in the nature. So getting together with people who talk about hiking is probably the best way to go. And then that way, maybe the parents can go first with the hiking, with these hiker people, and then bring along their children on maybe on the next hike. So, and not to make it an experience where you just, all right, we're going to go hiking, and you really don't know, you know, what's out there. And then the experience might not be as nice as it should have been the first time out. So it kind of turns off the family as a unit to go hiking when there's a big mystery out there, instead of maybe going to organizations that do lead hikes, family hikes or adult hikes, and getting educated through that way, and then exposing the children after they themselves, the parents, have gone on hikes.
Some people think they have to go out and get a bunch of gear and invest a lot of money to take that hike. They don't really, do they?
No, they don't. A great example of this, and this is the other side of it, we have through hikers that hike all the way from Mexico to Canada, and their ethic is based on ultra-light hiking to do 25-mile days, and they take tennis shoes. They wear tennis shoes, and they actually have a very little. Yes, granted, the stuff is expensive that they have. However, it is an idea that John Muir brought first to everybody. He would go into the mountains with his coat and his biscuits and his old boots and just go out there for weeks out in the Sierras. People need to know that they don't need to buy all this gear, but they do need to take water. That is something that people, more than anything, water is essential, especially here in Southern California. And of course, you know, a hat, it wouldn't cost you much. Maybe the lead hiker, maybe the father would take the backpack with all the goodies in it and make sure that he was the fittest and the most experienced, and some kind of little first aid kit, which wouldn't be much. You can make one yourself. The experience of hiking shouldn't be burdened by the expensive gear and all this. There should be some preparedness as far as the family unit, but however, you really don't need a lot of things to get you on a hiking trail that is established.
Of course, that isn't to say that getting some great hiking gear isn't a great and exciting part of life as well. And I would bet that that you have some favorite gear too. I'm just curious, do you have some favorite pieces of gear that you enjoy?
Yes, one of my favorite bits of gear is a Buzz-Off shirt made by Ex Officio. And this shirt is actually embedded with permethrin, which is a repellent. And it's actually embedded. It's good for 25 washes. But what's great about this shirt is that you're not spraying bug spray all over you every time you're out in a bug-infested area, but like mosquitoes. But these shirts really work well the other thing, when I'm out in the backcountry, I use a little alcohol-burning stove that just uses denatured alcohol. And some people make them out of Pepsi cans, Cat cans. These were really were done by the through hikers, and who saw the gain of how hot these little stoves burn without having to buy these heavy, expensive stoves. That's one of my, another part of my favorite cure. Another nice one of my favorite cures is the Sunday afternoon hat. This hat's been around for maybe about 7 years. A fisherman kind of brought this hat, but I see tons of these Sunday afternoon hats. They cover the nape at the back of the neck, and they have a wide brim. They're very cool to wear. They could look kind of dorky, but yeah, you really get the sun off you, and especially now with our sun, we have to really be aware of our sun. I really think that this item is not only a nice item to have to keep comfortable, but to keep safe from our sun's rays.
Well, that's also one of the great parts of getting out is the fact that you can just go ahead and look dorky and feel comfortable and fit right in. You know? Well, Michael, if people want to find out more about the American Hiking Society and you, how might they do that?
Well, they can contact the American Hiking Society, and we're at AmericanHiking.org. And then my personal contact would be AHSAmbassador@charter.net. They're interested in hearing more about the American Hiking Society or other events that are happening after National Trails Day.
Why don't you go ahead and just give us a quick overview of what's happening this Saturday at the Stowe Canyon Nature Center. It's starting actually quite early in the morning for those who want to beat the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a quick update.
Sure. Our first thing we do is our famous Beat the Heat hike. Of course, in June, we get the June gloom, so we do have a nice coastal eddy that gives us a cloud cover, and we'll probably have two rounds of the Beat the Heat hike for the early hikers that start like to get up and start at 7 o'clock, 7:30 or 7:45, depending on how we get the groups together. But also we'll be doing that trail maintenance on our tread. We had a lot of damage this year from all the rains here in Southern California, and we'll be doing a little bit of maintenance as well on that trail, giving some love back. And REI of Arcadia will be there, handing out various little water bottles. There'll be free water for everybody. I got a call from a Rosalinda down south. She's coming up, and she's going to be serving some hot drinks, some special hot drink mix that she has. So it's going to be quite interesting to see the various booth participants. So we have another participant beyond base camp. They take people out in the High Sierras, out in the backcountry, with Frank Gallegos, and that's going to be a nice little added plus there for people who want to go further into the wilderness.
Well, Michael Garcia, Ambassador for the American Hiking Society, I so much appreciate your perspective and your spirit and your dedication to encouraging people to just plain get out and enjoy nature. Thanks, Michael.
All righty.
So you've got everything you need to take that first step to better health. If you got feet, or even if you don't, there's a place for you waiting this weekend during National Trails Day. So, see you on the trail. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again and share our tales and lores, stories and more on your Voice of the Earth each Thursday or anytime on the archives here on the Wild Side News.